We're doing in Yaakov, we're on page Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph, and the next alphabet that's going to be analyzed is a code that keeps skipping seven letters. It's called Achas Bata Gif. Aleph Chet Samech Bet Tet Ayin Gimel Yud Pei. So the rabbis had an understanding, or a tradition, I don't know, that this is another code in Torah. So why, what do these letters represent? Achas. Hashem says, Ani Chas Aleihem. I have mercy over my Jewish people. Achas. Bata, because they were boet. They did away with gif. What is gif? Gif is promiscuity, illicit relationships. So, achas, Hashem has chas, Hashem has mercy. Bata, over the Jewish people because they kick away. Gif, illicit relationships, promiscuity. The next letters are dekatz. Dakimem, kenimem, tzadikimem. Hashem says, my people, the Jewish people, they're sensitive people, they're honest people, they are righteous people. Ha lak. They don't have ha, like not. En lehem ha chelek bahim. It's as though Hashem saying to perdition, you have none of them. I'm not letting them go to perdition. Vemozan shat. So it's as though perdition answers back to Hashem. Mori, my master. Vimor, my master. Zan, feed me shat. The descendants of Sheth Seth, who was the founder of the world. Now the Gemara goes over to a new system of letters in Torah. It's called Albam, where you skip 10 letters. You go, the first letter becomes the Lamed. The second letter becomes the Mem. You skip to the middle. You don't skip 10. We said that Lamed, when you split the alphabet in two, so it's Aleph through Chaf, and then Lamed through the end. So you skip half the alphabet. Every letter skips half the alphabet. And these codes, the rabbis knew how to use these codes to decipher things in Torah. We don't really know how to use this. So this is a code called Albam, that the Aleph skips half the alphabet to the Lamed. The Beis to the Mem, the Gimel to the Nun, the Dal to the Samach. So, Albam Gandas, Leichan Olchim, where are they going? Hashem says, perdition is not going to have a portion in Israel, but they're going to Gandas. Gandas, our sages say, is the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden is referred to as Gan Hadassim. The word Hadas, we know Hadassah was Esther's name. In Tanakh, the word Hadas is often a code for the righteous people. As we find in the prophet Zechariah, that the prophet Zechariah sees different horses. In the prophecy of Zechariah, he sees different horsemen and different horses, different color horses, until he sees one horseman standing in a field that's covered with hadassim. And over there, our tradition is that what he was seeing was a time in history where there would be a flourishing of tzaddikim. The hadassim, the Talmud says, in Tractate Megillah, in Tanakh, they're a code for the righteous. And then the Talmud goes on, Hey Ayin Vav Pei, Havap. It's as though perdition says to God, I'm tired, I'm hungry, give me some Jews to eat. And Hashem says, no. Zatzchak, these are Ze, they are the descendants of Tzachak. Ze Tzachak. Zayin Tzadi Chet Kuf is Ze Tzachak. They are the descendants of Yitzchak. I'm not giving them over. And finally, the last code the Talmud tells us here is, Tuf Reish Yud Shin Kaf Tuf. Right, that's the conclusion of this code. Tar. Hashem says, okay, hold the perdition says, don't hold off. I have Yeshli Kitot Shelumot Olam Shani Noten Lach. Hashem says, you still have groups that are headed your way. Don't worry, perdition. I'll feed you other people. And this is a tradition we have that. There are certain levels of perdition that once a person is a part of the Jewish people, he's blocked from entering there. What does that mean is a good question. Because in Tractate Rosh Hashanah, it says that people do go down, depending on their behavior. People will have a visit to perdition. So there are different explanations given. In Tractate Eruvin, the Talmud says that at the entrance to perdition, Avraham Avinu sits, and he takes a look at every person that wants to come in, and he says, if you're one of mine, I'm not letting you in. So then the question is, how do Jews ever enter? So there's another Gemara that says that when a Jew has an illicit relationship with someone who's not Jewish, so then their circumcision gets tainted. And then Avraham Avinu doesn't recognize them. Then when it comes time to go down, he's standing at the doorway and he says, okay, he's not one of mine. But as we know, the Talmud tells us in Tractate Rosh Hashanah and in Tractate Yuma that nothing stands in the way of tshuva. That a person does, even if a person has this stain on them, they can rectify it. Meaning a person is given the possibility to make it back. I heard a beautiful Dvar Torah on my way here. A friend of mine boarded the bus. So a good thing to do when you meet a friend is to ask him, hey, did you hear a nice Dvar Torah? So then you get enriched because you get the best of the best, right? He's going to tell you something from his whole, since the last time you got to talk to him. So he told me when he learned the Gemara says that when a person comes to transgress, so he has free will. So in heaven they say, if you want to, you can. But when a person comes to do what's right, they support him. They say, let's help you do it. So he asked his father when he was learning this, he said, why is that fair? Free will should be that whatever choice you make, you can make it. Why does heaven help a person make the right choice? Isn't that not fair? Isn't that not free will either? Because at the end of the day, Hashem is pushing you in the right direction. So his father said, no. Making the wrong decision is always easier. If you just open the wrong decision before a person going downhill is real easy. Making the right decision is always harder. So in order to keep it balanced, that's the idea the Talmud was saying. When you want to make the right decision, so Hashem helps you. Hashem helps you because you're going uphill. That's not fair. It's not as easy as making the wrong decision. That's to help balance out our free will. Because the wrong decision is always easier. Going downhill is easier. So coming back here, so we can make it back. Hashem wants us back, and that's the idea that when a person wants to purify himself, in heaven they shall help you out. That's what Hashem wants of us. So now we move on in Ein Yaakov. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yossi Ben Zimra. We have the following quote. Minayin lilshon notikon min haTorah. How do you know that the Torah even uses these codes? Is there an allusion to it in the Torah? The Talmud answers that when Hashem spoke to Avraham Avinu, Hashem told him, Av Hamon Goyim Netaticha. Av, I've made you a father to many nations. So the Talmud is now going to break down what Hashem said. Av Netaticha Laumot. I've made you father to the nations. Anyone that comes to convert, we consider him the son of Avraham. Right? A person gets an aliyah, we say Ben Avraham. So Avraham is considered the father of the nations, that anyone that wants to join gets a connection to the father of the nation of Israel. So Av, I've made you a father to the nations. Now what was bothering the Talmud here is it should have just said Av Goyim Netaticha. I've made you a father to nations. Why does it say Hamon Goyim, the masses of nations? So the Talmud is now going to break it down, and then we're going to have to come back to analyze what the Talmud was telling us. So one thing the Talmud says is, I've made you father to the nations. I have a question. We're going to say Avinu Malkeinu. From Rosh Hashanah through Yom Kippur. Can you give me maximum three, but even one, characteristics that define being a father? And then, can you give me maximum three, but even one, that defines being a king? Because we're talking about Avraham Avinu. Avraham was called the father Avraham, and our sages say Avraham comes from the word Av, and our sages say Hashem changed Avram's name, it says in Torah, from Avram to Avraham, and then Hashem tells Avraham, I have made you the father of the multitude of nations. Wait a second. His name was Avram to begin with. Why is Hashem saying your whole name is going to have a new meaning? So here the Talmud saying, oh, even though the name you think his name was Avram, you should know the Torah already showed you that when you see the word Avram, there's an allusion there. Within that name, the letters represent something. Hashem said, you are Av Hamon Goyim. That Avraham stands for a lot of things. So the Talmud saying, here, you see, but let's take a step back. What does it mean to be a father? Who can give me 1, 2, or 3 defining characteristics of being a father? When we speak to Hashem, Avinu Malkenu, because the next step is we're going to take it from our father to Hashem, and then we're going to take it back to Avram Avinu. But let's begin with our concept. We want to be fathers, right? What does it mean to be a father?
Know your father's life. Without him, you wouldn't have life.
So you want to say the key element, the key characteristic of being a father is that your kids owe you.
As in a different way than an adopted parent. You would have an adopted parent, you may owe him much, much more. But you don't
know him
what.
So I'm saying when one looks at their father, yes. So what they should be thinking is, I owe him.
I think that we say that, even if you're right, you still have to honor your parent, even if he was hardly somebody who, by objective standards...
Slowly. I'm asking characteristics.
No.
We speak about Hashem as our father and our king.
I feel it's strange with the Abraham connection, because Abraham... is a closer relation with us, but he really is the father of other nations as well. It would make more sense when somebody's there to be Ben Yaakov, you think.
So let's understand a little bit better. What does it mean to be an Av? Yeah. Yes?
I mean, say on a basic level, just having a child, your children, makes you a father.
So you're saying father means has children. So if we call Hashem our father, then that just means that we are his kids. But can we define the relationship? Meaning there's a master and slave, there's the king and people, there's the father and kid. How does that play out? Yeah.
You love your children no matter how bad they are.
Oh, so you want to say that when we use the term father, we speak about one who loves irrespective of behavior. Is that really true? Talmud seems to say that way. Talmud says that even if a father is stealing from his son, and the son will put up a fight... we assume a normal father would never kill his kid. The kid might kill the father, but the father won't kill the kid.
There's something different. If someone in this room found out, let's say that if I found out he was my son, even if I didn't know about it, the relationship automatically changes. There's something there. That's even true if you're a brother or sister, but you're right. There's something now, we talked about Harry before. I mean, people will do some nasty things to their family.
That seems to be the exception. Again, so you want to say that when we say the term father, we're stressing the term one that cares for, loves the children, and almost without demanding of them. Almost. Okay, do we have more definitions? Yes.
I'm either thinking guide or someone... someone that the kid can look to, role model person, maybe.
Oh, so you want to say that father to children is a point of reference, a point to aspire to, a point of direction.
Ideally speaking, I would say, yeah.
But you're asking what it should be or what it is. I mean, of course, everybody wants to be that kind of father and have that kind of father, but... certainly, we know, unfortunately...
Oh, what it should be. Because when we speak about Hashem, we're talking about the ideal father.
That's a very different question. Okay, yeah, that's different. Sure.
Okay, so, yes.
I mean, when we talk about the mitzvah of Kibbutz Avraham and the different parashiyot where we hear the Seretz HaDibros from Beis Hanan in Yitro, in one place it tells us to honor our father and mother, and in the other place it tells us to fear our mother and father, which... I learned from my Rav that this is an indication that naturally our natural inclination is to fear our father, whereas we fear our father and honor our mother. And the reason they're inverse is to remind us that we have just as much of a mitzvah to honor our father as we do our mother, and just as much of a mitzvah to fear our mother as we do our father. And a relationship between the parents and child is you know. When we think about the different mitzvot of Ahavat Hashem, Yirat Hashem, to know God and to love God, we have to think about how that relationship is. We don't, when we say we fear Hashem, It's not like, say when a father tells a child to clean up their room. On one level, you might have a young child who does it because they're scared that their father will beat them if they don't. But in fact, in this sense, it's a deeper level. Our relationship to our father is we clean up our room because we're worried of upsetting our father. It's a different level.
It'll create distance of relationship.
You think about ahava, the notion of love, like it's a reflexive verb. It's lihitahev is almost like it's something that we fall in love. We don't fall in love. The whole notion of falling in love is a very Christian concept. We rise in love. It's something that lifts us up. To hub is to give. It's a totally giving relationship. It's something that we give to the other person as much as possible. And that's, I don't know, when I think about the relationship between us and Hashem as father and child, it's a very giving relationship. Not that Hashem needs anything from us. Like, we know that from, 13 principles of faith. But when we think about it, we are trying to give as much as we can to Hashem because He gives everything to us without needing anything else back.
I think everything that was said is important.
Yeah.
We'll continue. There's more to say. Yeah. Think about it. We'll continue Bezachem the next class at 8:30.